We'll start on Bet Amidbar with the Gemara again, even though we did it yesterday. We'll start up again. So what we saw yesterday with these 15 women who, we'll review again, we'll use our people. If we have three brothers here, if one woman marries one of the brothers, there's two women married to this brother, and woman number one, when he dies without children, woman number one wants to marry, you know, she goes to do Yibum, or she doesn't even have to go to do Yibum. By the fact that one of the wives has an Easter Erva with one of the brothers, that means that none of the wives can do Yibum with one of those brothers. Okay, none of his original wives are allowed to do Yibum. That's the Tzahot. And then we learned that if the other wife, who doesn't have an Easter Erva, does Yibum with brother number three, then if brother number three had some other wives, then when brother number three, if he were to die without children, and they fall again to Yibum with brother number two, so all of those wives now, the ones married to brother number one, and the ones that are now the tzarot of the first wife, which is the new wives that from the brother number three, also can't marry. Okay? They can't do Yibum, they can't do Chalitza. Okay? Or they don't do Chalitza, we're going to see today.
Does that mean that they're stuck or they're free?
No, it means they're free. It means they're totally free. Again, it depends. Are they free? When it comes to, they're free when it comes to this brother. Now, if they happen to have a fourth brother, who doesn't look anything like them, because I have another doll that does. But if they happen to have a fourth brother, now remember, these are only brothers through the father. Okay, we talked about that yesterday. It's only brothers who share the same father that are chayav in Yibum. If they happen to have another brother, then all of them will fall to Yibum to the other brother. Okay, it's not that you're patur from Yibum entirely. It just means that you're patur from Yibum from that brother. You can't do Yibum with that brother. If there are no other brothers, then they're free. Okay? Now we're going to discuss the order in the Mishnah. Okay? I'm going to cross this down. Michti kulu me'achot isha yafinan. Now we're going to see this later today, but the whole issue of this p'tur of the tzarot and the tzarot tzarotehen, and the fact that she's p'tura, all of that, in other words, number one, that the first wife can't marry, the Easter Erva can't marry, and the other wives, they're all learned out from this case of achot isha. So that's where two brothers marry two sisters. So if that's the case, if that's the base case that we learn it all from, li'ne'achot isha b'resha, that should be the first case in the Mishnah. V'chitei ma'han chumer chumer nakav, Rabbi Shimon hidamar streifa chamura. If you want to say maybe it went in the order of chumra, and streifa is the most chamur, and that would only be according to Rabbi Shimon, okay? The Rabbi Shimon he da'amar streifa chamur, we had a machloket about whether streifa or skila is more chamur. Rabbi Shimon, who's not the opinion we hold by, says streifa is more chamura. So then we would say, start with the streifa, which are the first nine cases of our mission. If you see here, I did a chart. I did it only according to the maskana of the sugya. But you can at least look at the cases here. So we have the first three, the second three, the third three. All those nine cases are all chayavim and streifa. But if that's the case, how do we know they're all chayavim and streifa? Because all of that is learned out from the pasuk of chamoto. There's a pasuk about chamoto which says she gets streifa. So if they get streifa. So if that's the case, litne chamoto bereisha. That should be the first case. De ikar streifa b'chamoto. So it should be chamoto, right? Cases number 7, 8, and 9 should really be 1, 2, and 3, because that's the base case of streifa. Ve'od, batar chamoto litne kalato. De batar streifa skila chamura. And kalato is the only other case in the Mishnah that has a chamur mita of skila. So if that's the case, kalato should be next. That should be number 10. And instead, what do we have? We have another bunch of cases before that. So therefore, they say that, well, let's reject that. And they answer, Kevan de Atya Midrasha Chavivale. They say, since Bito is a case that's learned out from a drasha, therefore it's Chaviva. Now they say, okay, now we're going to mix apples and oranges right now. So just right now, what is Bito that's learned out from a drasha? Okay, let's. My marker's not here. One second, my marker's not here.
No.
Too bad. Okay. If Bito is learned out from Anusa To, is it under now? It's not here. Okay. If Bito is learned out from Anusa To, Bitome Anusa To. Remember we said yesterday that the Gemara is going to assume that Bito is Bitome Anusa To. And therefore it means that it's his daughter from a rape victim. So that case is learned out from a drasha from a pasuk, which we learned in Chagiga, I believe. It was definitely recently, so yeah. I think it was Chagiga. Yeah. Okay, although it doesn't say, that's so funny. I see, because it's the drasha comes later. Right, Amar of Yitzchak, yeah, Chagiga Yud Aleph. Okay, thanks. So if we have this case of Bichome Anu Sato is learned out from a drasha. Now, what's learned out from a drasha? The Isur Erva of Bito, right? Not anything having to do with the Tzarot and the Yibum and all that. Just the Isur Erva is learned out Midrasha. But then they say, so now what's the concept here? That since it's learned out from Midrasha, it's Chaviv. What did we discuss yesterday? That sometimes the rabbis say that what we say is special, is Miyuchad. Because they want to make the Torah Shebaal Peh very strong. They want to say that's the most special, it's the most important. Again, maybe we suggested yesterday, maybe Lehotzim Atz Dukin. Okay, yeah, who really believe very strongly in Torah Shebichtav, and not just the Tzdukim, but all the different, the Baitusim. Okay, but what do they say? But Kulhu Nami Midrashat. All the cases in the Mishnah were learned out from Midrasha. What was the Drasha? From Achot Ishto. Remember the two sisters, and what's the Drasha here? Not the Isur Erva, because the Isur Erva for all these cases wasn't learned out from Midrasha, they're explicit. But they're saying the Yibum, right, the Ptur Miyibum of this Erva and her Tzarot and the Tzarot Tzarot were all learned out from Midrasha. So everything, in essence, in our Mishnah is learned out from Midrasha. So therefore, why don't you put that? That doesn't really hold any water. Then they say, no, Ikar Isurayhu, now they're going to answer basically that these are two different things. Ikar Isurayhu behediktibuhu. Bito Ikar Isura Midrasha. Okay, all the Isurei Erva, of all the other cases, right? Let's just write here. Other cases, right? All the other cases, the Isur Erva was explicit in the Torah, right? Just the Ptur Yibum was from a drasha. That's different from Bitome Anu Sato, that Ikar Isur Midrasha. And therefore, we return this answer to being an answer. Okay, first they tried to mix it with apples and oranges. So they all learn from a drasha, but they're not all learned from a drasha. They're all in the Yibum issue from a drasha, but they're not learned the Isur Erva from a drasha. The Ikari Sura is learned from a drasha, Bitome Anu Sato, and that's why it's first. How do we know? De Amarava, Amarli Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Atya Hena Hena, Atya Zima Zima. Okay, so what's that? That's these two psukim we saw in Chagiga. It says, Ervat Isha Ubita Lo Tegaleh. If you have the stuff on the side, so mine it's Bet. Bet is the first pasuk we're going to start with. And Vayikra Yudchet Pasuk Yud Zayin. It says, Ervat Isha Ubita Lo Tegaleh. Okay, a daughter, a woman and her daughter. Lo Tegaleh. Edbat Binav Edbat Bita Lo Tegaleh Legalot Ervatan. You hear the words that we're going to darshan. Sheira Hena Zimahi. Okay, Hena and Zima appear in this pasuk. What's the context? Isha Ubita, the assumption is we're talking about a woman, meaning his wife, okay, because Isha is Ishut. It's his wife and her daughter. So that means his own daughter. And the grandchildren, it says in this pasuk. But then if you look at pasuk Yud in that same parak, which actually comes before, it says, Ervat bat bincha o bat bitcha lo tegaler vatan ki ervatcha hena. It says your grandchildren. What do you mean? We already said your, well, not already, but later it says your grandchildren together with your wife. So what do they assume? The grandchildren here are grandchildren from Ray. But who's missing in the pasuk? Bito, right? It just says the grandchildren. So what do they say? We assume since it says in this pasuk also, Hena, and it says Zima, where's Zima? In Isha, right, V'isha sherikachet Isha ve'et ima Zimahi. That's what they say. We learn from pasuk number 3, okay, which is comes up in Vayikra Kaf, pasuk Yudalet, because it says here, Isha ve'et ima Zimahi. Here we assume the Isha can't be his wife. It's talking about a woman and her mother. So they say, this must be our remez for Bitome Anu Sato. Okay? And there it says Zima in the Pasuk. And in the first Pasuk we had, it said Hena with the grandchildren. So we connect those two to the other one and we say we can learn from here. That's the drasha. So now they say, okay, so now where are we left? We can say that Bito came first because the Holy Easter Erva was learned from a drasha. That's okay. But in another second, it's not going to be. While it's true that we were comparing apples and oranges, still, if we want to take this concept that the drasha is the most important, so start with case number one, where the Isur Erva comes from a drasha, and then go to all the rest of the cases that are learned from a drasha. But what did we say? The base sugya is learned out from a Achot Isha. And all the other cases are learned from a drasha to Achot Ishto. Which means that Achot Ishto is the base case, right, that we can learn from the Torah. All the rest are drashot, if that's the case. So let's do The one where Isser Erev is learned out midrasha. Then all the other cases where Yibum is learned out midrasha, and then finish at the end with the one that is explicitly in the Torah. Again, this whole thing is counterintuitive, because really you would think, let's start from the Torah and go consistently to Rabbanah. So it's a little opposite. But like I said, sometimes Chachamim asu chizuk l'divrahem yoter me'asher Torah. We've seen that before, that sometimes when you have a Rabbanah, we add extra strength to make sure that people take it seriously. So this could fall into that category. So therefore, what are they saying? No, I did the Arabi. So therefore, we reject this. Because then, if really we want to take this drasha all the way, Achot Yisro should be the last case, and it's not. So what do they say? I did the Arabi Yisro Achvata, Tane Achot Yisro, B'litni Elahai Bava Levasof. So what do they say? First they say, why didn't they put Achot Yisro Levasof? Because I did the Arab Yisro Achvata, Tane Achot Yisro. Since they were already talking about Yisro Achva, so they stuck Achot Yisro together there, and that's why it's not at the end. But then they say, no. Bilini alahai bava levasof. But you should have just, right, look at the sheet. You see that, if you look, there's the first three sections. Bito bap, no, that's section number one. Bat Yisro bap, na bap, bita, section number two. Section number three, chamoto em chamiv. Then the next two sections are all achotomi imo, achot aviv, achot ishto, eshet achiv meimo. All the brother stuff. So they say, that's why achot ishto isn't at the end, because it's with all the brothers. But then they say, that's a lame excuse. Why? Because you could have just stuck that whole section at the very end. So that you'd end off, yes, you put all the brothers together, but you'd end off with achot ishto, if you really care about being masader in that way. And therefore they reject this whole line of thinking, and they move on to something else. And that's what we're going to see here. We're finally at our answer. Elatana korve korve nakat. He brought the most krovim first. Okay? Tana bito bat bino de krove atzmo. They're mamash krovim elav, right? His daughter, his granddaughter, his great-granddaughter, right? His granddaughter from the mother's side, the granddaughter from the daughter's side, the granddaughter from his son's side. Those are krove atzmo. Even if you say it's bito me'anu sato, that's achi karov elav. Since it took them three generations that are lower than him, right? It's two generations, but it means him, right? His daughter, that's generation number two, and his granddaughter, right? Bat Bino, Bat Bito. So that's three generations. One, he's considered the first, and then there are three. So it went down three generations. Now, since he did that and went to his three generations, next, what did it decide to do? Tananami shalosh dorot lamata dida. Now we're getting to his wife's three generations down. Now this is a little bizarre, because if you think about it, bito me'anu sato, right? And then there's bito from, if you understand that the next three cases are him and his wife, you would think those would be first according to this order. So it's a little bit questionable here whether they're going back to understanding it the other way. That bito is his own kids with his wife even, and the next are his wife's kids from a different marriage, right? In other words, after it goes through his three kids, the three generations, him, his daughter, and his grandchildren, right, his granddaughter, then it goes to his wife, Ishto, and then her daughter and her granddaughter, okay? Which would then make sense a little bit better if you say that it's hers from a different marriage and not hers with him. But you could sort of explain it the other way also. It's his, maybe only his, because it's his from his raped wife. You know, my daughter asked a great question. Don't you have to marry your raped, if you rape someone in the Torah, you have to marry them. So, in which case, she should be his wife. Now, it's true, he didn't always marry her, because she could say, I don't want to marry him. But it is actually interesting, because in the end, usually the rape victim becomes his wife. Maybe, though, you would say, I don't know, right? It's a good question. I don't have a good answer to it.
But it's so common that people, I feel like we talk about rape as if it happened. An everyday occurrence.
So that's right. So yeah, take this case as if this is the base case, and right. So again, it's always a question in the Gemara, are we talking very theoretical, or are these cases actually practical and happening? And right, it's a good question. I'd like to think that it wasn't happening often. Okay, so then we go to three generations of her. Now that we get to the three generations of her, of his wife, then we go up three generations from her, the mother-in-law, right, and the mother of the mother-in-law, and the mother of the father-in-law. Okay? V'tana achoto v'achot imo. Then we go back. Okay, so we started with him, his three generations down. Her, his wife, her three generations down, and her three generations up. Now we get to achot imo, achoto and achot imo, that they're krovei atzmo. Now we're going, I would say, right on the same generation level, right? There we were going down and up. Now we get his sister, or right from a different marriage of a parent, right? Not from the achot imo, and the mother of his, right, the, his aunt, de krovei atzmo, because they're his own krovim. Right, there was his own krovim from his parents, as opposed to his own krovim from his own children. Right, until there, we had his own krovim from his own children. Right, it's always, if you think about it, right, your nuclear family is always your more closer family. Then you go back up to your own children, and then you go back up to your who your children are from your family, your siblings, your aunt. Then once we're talking about achoto and achotimo, tan achotishto. Okay, here what's interesting is, they say achot ishto, but eshet achiv me'imo doesn't appear here, but we just assume that that's just also with there. U'bedinhu de'lekadme lekalato mekame eshet achiv shelo haya bolamo. The guy who's the least connected is the brother who wasn't even alive when he first died. Do you remember that? This was the brother, if he died without children, and there's one brother, and then this brother was born later, so he has no connection to Yibum. He should have been the last, because he's totally disconnected. Yes, he's his brother, but he wasn't even there. That should have been the last, and Kalato should have come first, his daughter-in-law. But Delo Mishum Kurva Hu Da Sira, right? He's not Asur Mishum Kirva, because he wasn't even alive then. Ela Aide Da Aire Bi Isur Achva Tana Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Bolamo. He just comes in there, right? Here's a literary thing, because we were up to all the brothers. Remember again, memorization, right? The easier way to memorize is to remember all the brothers in one category and then move on to the next category. And therefore, Hadar Tane Kalato. And that's why she ends up last. Okay, now we got the order down pat. Umay Iria Detane Potrot, Litne Asur Osrot. This is what we talked about a little yesterday. Why does it say they're Potrot and it doesn't say they're Asurot? Because really, they're Asurot to marry the other brother. So why does it say they're pturami yibum and it doesn't say they're usr? So they say itane osrot hava mina. You would have thought asur li abem aval michlach tchalse. You might have thought you could do chalitza because asur means you can't do yibum, but maybe you could do chalitza. You'd have to do chalitza. Kamash malan. Therefore, comes to tell you they're potrot mina chalitza mina yibum. It says v'litne asura lachlot. So why don't you just say then asura, right? Osrot asura lachlot. So then they say, "My kaviv, what does it mean? Asur lachlot? It can't be forbidden to do chalitza. If you want to do some tekes of chalitza, there's no isur involved, right? What's the isur of yibum? The isur of yibum is that you're marrying your brother's marrying his brother's wife. That's an isur erva. So you can say asur, but to say asur lachlot is a very weird thing. But then they say alam alo, why not? Because you could say asura lachlotz. Why? Because imata omer choletzet mityabemet. You might have thought that if you could do chalitza, you would also be allowed to do yibum. So to say asura lachlotz would indicate asura lachlotz en liabem. Okay, so therefore you could say the word osrot. So that doesn't answer our question. So then they say, here's our answer. Kevan de b'makom mitzvah hu de asira tzara v'shelo b'makom mitzvah sharia. Here we have this thing. What's the makom mitzvah when you have yibum? Okay? In our case, what did we have? We had three brothers, right? We had two wives. And we had these two. Okay, let's just take these two wives. This is what we used before. We had two wives. This guy died from yibum. This guy died without kids. She has to do yibum. She can't, right? So then this woman can't marry that guy. That's been makom mitzvah, right? Even though there's a mitzvah of yibum, right? We don't allow her to marry, okay? That's been makom mitzvah hu de asira tzara, right? Then it becomes asur for her because it becomes in isur arayot because she was married to his brother. But shelo b'makom mitzvah, let's say these two women were married to a different guy entirely, okay? Now, if they were married to a different guy entirely, and she wants, then this wife number two, wants to marry Joe Schmo, right, our brother, who happens to be Isur Erva with her old, right, Sarah, there's absolutely no Isur for her to marry this guy. Okay, let's just review that again. We have these two women are married to this guy, okay? Some out of the blue guy, Mr. Somebody, not our one of our brothers, okay? Now we're going to keep it that brother number two from this family, okay? Let's say the family Cohens, okay? The Cohens are here. They have one guy who's Isser Yibum to this woman. She's married to somebody else, though. I'm sorry, Isser Arayo. She's married to someone else. There's no Yibum here at all. Her husband happens to die. Okay? Now, if she wants to go marry this guy just because she likes him, she can't because it's arayot. Okay? She's the daughter. She's who knows what. But her sarah is obviously allowed to marry him. There's no issue shelo b'makom mitzvah. So what do they say? That's the second part. V'shelo b'makom mitzvah sharia u'mishum ha'achi tane potrot. And that's why they say the word potrot and not osrot. Why? Because what would you have thought? If you said osrot, you might have thought like this. If b'makom mitzvah it's asur for the tzara to marry this guy, when there's a chiyuv of yibum, then if it's asur, then also shelo b'makom mitzvah it might be asur to her. You might have mistakenly thought, because we use this lashon of asur, which is a very strong lashon, you might have thought that it's also asur, even if there is no yibum issue. Right? Shalom b'makom mitzvah. If b'makom mitzvah it's asur, then obviously shalom b'makom mitzvah would be asur to her. And therefore, we don't want you to think that. So therefore, they use the lashon patur. Just she doesn't have to do yibum with him. She's p'turam and ayibum. But not that she's asur, because asur would lead us to confuse things. It would lead us to think that if they were married to somebody else entirely, he died, again, irrelevant to whether he has kids, doesn't have kids, right? We're not talking about yibum here. He dies, you might have thought she's asur to marry him, because her tzara is Isur Erva. So we don't want to use the word asur and confuse people and make them think.
Is this a makom mitzvah situation?
No. It's shelo b'makom. Only within the yibum is the makom mitzvah. Right? When she's supposed to marry him to be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum, that's a makom mitzvah, and even then we don't allow it, right? If it's asur b'makom mitzvah, when there's a mitzvah of mekayim the mitzvah of yibum, and we say it's asur, then when it's shelo b'makom mitzvah, you might also think that it's asur. Okay. And therefore we say, use the word patur so that we don't get any confused ideas. Umay iria detane mina chalitza umina yibum. They're really dealing so much here. This is very typical of the beginning of Masechta. We've talked about this a few times. But the lashon of the Mishnah and the words they use, the order they use, it doesn't come up often sugyot like this later in the Masechta for some reason. Very much so in the beginning of Masechta. The chokrim, the academics have theories about it that often the beginning of Masechta or later sources. They're from the time the Amoraim lived from 200 to 500. And the Svoraim were these people who came from 500 to 800. And they generally added things on the side, notes, and eventually it became part of the text. And their type of questions were already different, because the Gemara asked questions on the Mishnah and why the Mishnah say this, and maybe we should change it, and in what case. But the Svoraim come and discuss more. They're already taking the Mishnah as a given. The Gemara becomes a question, and then they ask a lot of different types of questions. Some of them are just literary about the Mishnah, not about the Tochen, but really about why is it structured this way. They have all sorts of different set of questions, and maybe that will answer why they're doing this. So now they say, why is it mina chalitza umina yibum? Litne mina yibum l'chudei, right? You could have just said they're patur from yibum. If they're patur from yibum, obviously they're patur from chalitza. Itani mina yibum, hava mina mechlatzhalte yibum elo miyabma, kamashmalan. Again, you might have thought, it's true you're patur from yibum, but maybe you have to do chalitza, which we'll see that there are certain cases where, well, we'll see, it's not yes and no. So they say, kol ha'ole li'ibum, so kamashmalan, what does it come to teach you? The kol ha'ole li'ibum, ole l'chalitza. V'kol she'eino ole li'ibum, eino ole l'chalitza. So they learn here a very important klal, that anyone who has to do yibum and doesn't for whatever reason, does chalitza. But anyone who is patur from yibum is also patur from chalitza. Okay? Now, yes, there's some cases, we saw one in the Mishnah, where it's a safek, right? We don't know she's married to Rabbanan because she's the ketana who's married to Rabbanan. Is she poter her tzara who's chayav midoraita to do yibum? And we said it's a safek and therefore choletze belomet yabemet. That we have. But that's different than this. This means you're pacha from yibum. If you're pacha from yibum, then you never do chalitza. It's only cases where there's some sort of a safek where we say, then you do chalitza out of safek. So now the order is strange. Why does it say mina chalitza mina yibum? It should say mina yibum mina chalitza. Inami min chalitza lechude, or you could have just said from chalitza, because then it would be obvious. So what did they say? Abba Shaul, it goes according to Abba Shaul, the Amar, mitzvah chalitza kodemet lemitzvat yibum. Okay, this is a great thing. What does he say? Adif to do chalitza me'asher yibum. Why? Because he doesn't like the fact, even though we allow her to do it, okay? But in the end, there is some sort of erva here, right? In other words, in the end, he's marrying his brother's wife. So while it's true there's a chiyuv midoraita to do it, we don't like to do it. It's not preferable, okay? So therefore, he says, adif always to do chalitza if possible. And by that way, getting out of yibum entirely. That's the best way to do it. And therefore, mina chalitza comes before yibum, because it was his approach. We'll get into this later, maybe, when we get further into the Masechet, about whether chalitza is a p'tur from yibum. In other words, how does it work? Or is it a kiyum of yibum? In other words, if it's a p'tur, right, then you wouldn't say adif to do chalitza, because adif to do yibum and lahakim shem amet. But some people look at chalitza that somehow you're still being mekayim shem amet, even though you're exempting yourself from it, right? You're removing, but somehow there's still some sort of kiyum there, like a positive kiyum. Okay. So that's what they say. Now we're moving on to a new thing about the Mishnah. Minyana deresha lemi'utemai, uminyana desefa lemi'utemai. Look back at the Mishnah for a second. What does it say? It starts with chamesha sre nashim, potrot tzarotehem, v'tzarot tzarotehem. So first they want to know, why did you use this number chamesha sre? Remember, we talked about it, that it's a structural thing, right? A lot of times the Mishnah will give numbers. But they're saying, chamesha sre comes to say, chamesha sre v'lo yoter. Okay, so that means it's coming to exclude some cases. And then, if you remember, what did we say? There, it says here, potrot tzarotehem, v'tzarot tzarotehem, in a chalitza, right? It lists the 15, and then what does it say again? Hare elu, potrot tzarotehem, v'tzarot tzarotehem, right? So it has the words, hare elu, these, filo achirim, right? So now what do you have here? Two mi'utim. One from the first sentence and one from the second, from the, right, the end sentence there. Not the end of our Mishnah, but the end of that section. So each one must be coming to exclude something. So what cases are they coming to exclude? So now we have a few, we're going to have a few different options. Okay, here's your chart here with the different options. Limeute derav uderav asi. It's coming to exclude the two opinions of Rav and Rav Asi. Now you have to remember, Rav and Rav Asi lived after the Mishnah, right? It doesn't mean that the Mishnah said, we're not going to do like Rav and Rav Asi, but it's that Rav and Rav Asi are giving an approach, and our Mishnah didn't take that approach. So what's their approach? Rav and Rav Asi, each of them says something different, okay? Rav says that the tzara v'sota, right? We gave 15 people, now we're going to have a few new cases. Case number one is a sota. If she's a zona and goes out and goes with some other man, this our wife over here, okay, wife number one, she's a zona. Now when she falls to yibum, because her husband dies without kids, he doesn't have to marry her, okay? She's p'tura from yibum from the brother. I assume the assumption is because she's a zona, right? Why would anyone want to marry her? She's p'tura. She's not an erva, but it's a sort for her to marry him. So now, the question is she poter the tzarot also in this case or not? So Rav says yes, but we're saying that our Mishnah says no. Our Mishnah comes to exclude that opinion, okay? Next case, Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, this is all in Rashi, by the way. It doesn't say so in the Gemara what they say. Rav Asi says that Tzarav and Ailonit is Asura. If she can't have children, then she's obviously not supposed to marry him, because the whole idea is Lakim Shema Mate, and if she can't have children, right, again, the assumption there was a little more basic than we understand nowadays, that sometimes an Ailonit could be not necessarily her, right? It's not clear who's the problem, and maybe she could with someone else, unclear. But anyway, their assumption is she can't have children. And therefore, she's out for the counting here. But is she poter her tzarot or no? So Rav Asi says, yes, she's poter the tzarot. And our Mishnah comes to say, no, she's not poter the tzarot. Okay? So then they say, but what about Rav and Rav Asi? How would they read our Mishnah? If they exclude these two cases, right, each one their own case, what's the second, right? What are the other exclusions for? What's the Mishnah excluding then, according to them? How did they read the Mishnah? Because we can read the Mishnah and say, oh, it doesn't hold like them, but how did they read the Mishnah? What do they think those, right? It was so obvious to them that there have to be two miyutim here. They weren't willing to be mevater on that. So we give one approach according to most of the world, and then we have to give a special approach for Rav Ravasi. Here we're going to have two different options. Now, isvira luhu dehadade. Okay, now, there's two options here. Either Rav and Rav Asi each agree with each other, Or they each only say their opinion. So if they each agree with each other, then we need to find two new ones. If they each, if the other's opinion, then we only need one new one. And that's why I made the chart here of the two different options. So, Isfir lehuda hadade, they agree with each other. Then chade lemu'ut ha-tzarat mima'enet, v'chade lemu'ut ha-tzarat machzir gushata. Okay. If we have our family again, he's married to these two wives. We take wife number one. Wife number one is a ketana still. She's married to him, but she's a ketana. And she, when she falls to Yibam with the new brother, she says, I'm not interested. Now, she's allowed to say, she's allowed to do mi'un. So she can say, I'm not interested. And if she says, I'm not interested, then she doesn't have to do Yibam or Chalitza. That's enough to just say, Anima Ma'ena, because she's a ketana. Now, if that's the case, right, but you have to remember, this is only in the case where she was married because her father was dead, she's a yatoma, and the mother and the brother married her off to the first guy. So, well, she didn't do miyum for the first guy, but she didn't do miyum because she's still too young. So when she falls to the new guy and she gets old enough, she says, I'm not interested. Okay, that's in the case where she's a yatoma, meaning she doesn't have a father, she still has a mother. Or a brother. She might not have a mother. Anyway, the question here is she poter, if she does miyum, is she poter the tsarot or not? So we say, that's it. She, this case, there's no question here. She's ptura, but the tsarot are not. Okay, so that's number one. The other case is machzir grushato. What's the case? Couple's married, okay? This couple's married to each other. They get divorced. She goes and marries somebody else in between. And then they get divorced, or he dies, or who knows what, and she goes back and marries him again. That's asur. It's machzir grushato. It's a little bit like the sota almost. Like there was something inappropriate here, and therefore the brother, she doesn't do yibum with the brother. In that case also, just she and not the tsarot. Okay. So that's the two cases. So if they both agree with each other, then we have two separate cases, right? We have the mima'enet, and we have the machzir grushato. Okay? If ilosfira lehula hadade, what if they don't agree with each other? Then chadale meute dechavre. The first would be either sota or iloni, depending on whether it was rav or rav asi. And bechadale meute otzarat meman and otzarat machzir gushato. Okay, it would be one of those two. Lerav ule rav asi. So now we have a good question. Lerav ule rav asi lininhu. According to them, the Mishnah is missing those two cases, right? It should say sota and it should say ilonit. Okay, or one according to each of them, right? Depending on whether they agree with each other or not. So why don't they list them? Now here they give a chiddush. Lefisha eina b'tzarat tzara. They're only those cases, while they might be the same according to Rav Rav Asi as the other cases, where they're poter the tzarot tzarotehen. I'm sorry, where they're poter their tzara, but they're not poter the tzarot tzarotehen. Right? They're not poter the case where wife number two marries brother number three, and he's got some other wives, and then he dies without children. The other wife that he had can't marry, right? That's the tzarat tzara. Can't marry brother number two now. Can't do yibam with him. So in these two cases of the sota and iloni, they're only poter the tzara and not the tzarot tzarotehen, and therefore they're not listed in the Mishnah. That's what you'd have to explain. Now we're going to get to the drasha that we talked about. Menahan emile, where do we learn this whole halacha? Ditana Rabbanan, and I put the pasuk a little bit in big over here on the sheet. Isha lachota lo tikach litzror legalot ervata aleha bechayaha. That's the pasuk. Okay, a woman and her sister. This is right. So in what case would this be with Yibum? Two brothers marry two sisters. One brother dies without children. And now the sister is supposed to marry the guy who's already married to her sister. So now, what does it say in this pasuk? So don't take your wife's sister, litzror. This is going to be our key pasuk if you get the connection. Tzara, okay? Litzror legalot ervata aleha bechayeha. Aleha matamulomar. What does it mean? Why does it say aleha? Lefisha ne'emar, right? Because it could just say lo tzikach litzror legalot ervata. Bechayeha. It doesn't need the word aleha. So what do? They take this other aleha. Lefisha ne'emar, yivama yavo aleha. In the case of Yibum, it says in the pasuk, the Yibum will come upon her. Aleha. The same word. Shomea ani afilu ba'achat mikol arayot amurot b'torah hakatub midaber. You might have thought that it's saying he comes upon her no matter what. Even if she's an erva, the chiyuv of Yibum overrides that. So therefore they say, lo, ne'emar kan aleha, ve'emar lahalan aleha. Okay, so now they're going to darish in these two alehas. Ma lahalan bimkom mitzvah, af kan bimkom mitzvah. Just like there, 1 second. Not Rabbi Chaya. Mala halam bimkom mitzvah, afkam bimkom mitzvah, right? That there it's because of, in Yibum it's a makom mitzvah. All right. Just like in Yibum, yavo aleha is a mitzvah to do it. So likewise, it's asur lavo aleha afilu bimakom mitzvah. You understand? The aleha, the second aleha is also bimkom mitzvah, meaning the isur arayot is takef, right? It's there even if it's a mitzvah. That's what they're coming to teach you. The aleha is still there. So don't think that yavo, yavama, yavo aleha, even it's an isur erev. No. Because the isur erev is takef even b'makom mitzvah. Va'amar achmana lo tikach. Okay, and therefore the pasuk says, you can't lo tikach. Legalot ervata aleha. And therefore, it's asur. Okay, so there we learn that achot ishto can't marry the brother when she falls to panim tibul. Ve'en li alahi. Okay, that helps us with her. But what about sarata minayin? Talmud Lamar, litzror, that word litzror, they're darshaning away from the pshat. They're saying it means tsarata also. Ve'en li'elat tsarata. Tsarat tsarata minayin. Now we have to learn out what about tsarat tsarata. Talmud Lamar, litzror ve'lo latzor. There's an extra ratio in that word. If you want to say that, right? Litzror is tsara. There's two ratios in that word. So they say litzror comes to include tsarat tsarata. Okay. That's stage number one. So we've learned from this drasha. We've learned the achot ishto, right? Achot ishto can't marry, right? Asura liyabem, right? She can't fall as a yivama. Okay, number one, her tzaha we learned from the word litzror, right? This we learned from aleha, the first one. The second one we learned from litzror, and the third one we learned from the tzarot sarata, tzarot sarateha from litzror also, right? Here it's from the part latzor, and here it's from litzror. Okay? But now, what do we need? The rest of them, right? Ein li ela achot isha. We only have that case. Shara reyot minayin. Amarta ma achot isha miyuchedet shehi erva v'chayavim al zdona karet v'al shegigata chatat v'asura liyabam. Okay, just like we're going to say whatever's similar to achot isha. What's unique about achot isha? So, she, if you sleep with achot isha, what happens? If you do it b'mezid, you get karet. If you do it b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban chatat. So, and what do we say about it? The asura liyabam, right? She's forbidden to the yabam. She can't marry this guy. So anyone who's like her, af kol shehi erva v'chayavim al zdonah karet v'al shegigata chatat asura liyabam. Okay, so therefore we say whatever is true for this achot isha that it's got the karet and the chatat, if you do it b'shogeg, and therefore it's a surali abam. Anyone who's got those same criteria, who's an Easter Erva that has karet and chatat, is going to be a surali abam. But that only teaches us about chelak chat. It doesn't teach us about the rest of them. Ve ein li elahein sarotehem minayin. Amarta, they're going to say the same thing basically. Ma achot isha miyuchedet sheirva b'chayvim al zdona karev al shegigata chatat v'asura liyabem v'tzarata asura. It's also what's true about her. Af kol sheirva b'chayvim al zdona karev al shegigata chatat v'asura liyabem tzarata asura. Mikan amru chachamim, 15 nashim potrot tzarotahen v'tzarot tzarotahen min achalitza u'min ha'ibum ad sof ha'olam. Okay, this is a brayta. By the way, the brayta is going to continue still. It's a brayta that is basically darshaning it out. You see the lashon in the brayta is very similar at the end there, that ad sof kol ha'olam. Okay. Yachol, now they're going to say, but wait, if that's the case, we said these 15 women, okay? But we're leaving out a bunch of women. Who's that? We haven't gotten to them yet. They're in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel. Yachol sha'ani marbeh av shesh arayot chamurot me'ele. There's 6 arayot that we didn't discuss here that are more chamur. What are these 6 arayot? These are 6 arayot, okay, like, here, we can look in the Mishnah for a second. Shesh arayot chamurot me'elu, mipnei shenisuo l'achayrin. Okay, here on. Imo, ve'eshet aviv, v'achot aviv, achoto me'aviv, ve'esh dachi aviv, ve'esh dachi me'aviv. We're not going to get into what all these cases are. But what's unique about these cases? Some of the Mepharshim say, they're not necessarily more chamur, but there's one din about them that's more chamur. What is that? These relationships, okay, if she has this relationship with this guy, she's usher to his brothers, okay? So therefore, there's no yibum at all because she's already usher to the brothers, okay? This is an Isur Arayot that is more chamor because it's not only to the person himself to have an Isur Erva, but also any of his brothers can't be with her, which would obviously make Yibum, it would put Yibum, there's no Yibum at all even, right? It's like a whole different category. So they say, and therefore, those cases aren't potrot the tzarot, because there has to be a chiyuv of Yibum for the tzarot to even be an option. And here, because she's ushered to the brothers, automatically to any brothers of his, so there's no Yibum at all. It doesn't even like, the other cases, there's no Yibum, there's a problem with doing the Yibum. Here it's like, there's no Yibum at all, because you're just not even b'parsha. Like, it's already, once you marry him, it's not sort of marry any of his brothers. Okay, we'll get to that case when we get there, okay, in the Mishnah. So these, Yachol Shani Marbe Av Sheish Arayot Chamuro Me'elu Shiyut Tzarotehen Asurot also. Amard Ma Achot Ishto Miyuchedet Shehi Erva. So again, they're going to say only things that are like Achot Ishto. So therefore they say, Shehi Erva V'chayvim Azdon Akarev Al Shegeta Chatat Ve'efshar Li Nase L'Achim, and she can marry his brothers V'asura Li'Abam. And what do we say about it? That she's asura liyabam, but sarata asura. Av kol shiyarva v'chayvim azdon akarev al shekata chatat. Ve'efshar li nasei la'achim and can marry his brothers. V'asura liyabam, but yet is asura liyabam, and sarata asura. But yatzu shesh arayot chamurot me'ele, ho'il di'i efshar li nasei la'achim, tzarotehem mutarot. She'ein tzara ela me'ach. Okay, because the tzara only comes from the nature of the fact that there's a brother that can be married. Okay. Now, what does it mean, really? What did we say? She, when he dies, she can't marry the brother, right? But in theory, there's a third brother that she doesn't have Isur Arayot for. And that's why the Tzara ends up being Ptura. But when it comes to a case where there is no third brother, because if she's Asur to him, then she's Asur also to the brother. Okay? That's why there's no Yibum here. Okay? That's what it means, En Sarata Ela Me'ach. Okay, we're going to finish this last line. Azhara shamanu onesh minayin. Now, so we've learned here in Azhara that it's asur, but that you can't do, right, you don't do yibum here, but onesh minayin, where do we learn in onesh? Amar kra, ki kol asher ya'asem mikol ha-toevot, v'nechretu ha-nefesh ha-yimei ama. Okay, there's the pasuk, it says karet in that pasuk. So there we see, right, in general, they try to find, there's azharot, you know, the arayot are mentioned twice. There's one parak where it talks about all the isurim, and the other one where it mentions onashim. There has to be an asara and a pasuk where it says an onash. Okay, let's stop here. Now we're going to get into a whole big question, which is going to continue into tomorrow, about why don't we say ate ase v'dache lo tase? In other words, yes, there's isur erva, but there's also an ase, and shouldn't the ase come in v'doche the lo tase? So then we're going to discuss this whole issue of ate ase v'doche lo tase. This is why this masechet, while it seems a little far out, and we're talking about it, really, there's a lot of basic yisodot, musagei yisod that come up in this masechet, and that's why it's actually a good masechet to be learning, despite the confusion of all the people who they are.